Brent Hartl and Dan Droller of Music for America. We're watching this presidential race for evidence of a transformation, we call it, and we just see you out there everywhere, swimming in the same mystery. You're kind of a music service, a musical meetup, a soundtrack perhaps of this second superpower that's emerging in the web. I wonder, how do you pitch yourselves? What are you up to? Brent Hartl.
I think what we're up to is we're trying to draw this connection between music and blogging in the sense that what we feel is that we want to take our experience and everything that we're seeing what's going on in the world, and we want to sort of disclose it and communicate it with the rest of the world. And I think that's what's going on with this transformation, is that we're seeing people from being told what they should think or what they should consume into an idea where we're saying people should be able to participate in their medium, be it music or be it communicate their ideas on the internet.
Dan Droller, you guys speak of empowering young people by exposing the connection between their cultural lives and the political process. What does that mean?
What that means to me pretty much is we choose some relevant issues that affect culture, whether it be the Rave Act, part of the drug war, media consolidation or file sharing and stuff like that, and go to culture. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, me and my peers like to do, go to shows, you know, listen to music, and we show how the politics affect the culture, and we don't preach, we don't patronize, we just show, listen, it's easy to get involved, going to a show, you're doing something unified, and going to that show is a political statement, you can learn something at that show, and you can just learn how it's easy to get involved and how simple it is, and kind of make politics come to you instead of always just doing it the other way.
Give an example. What kind of show are you talking about? What kind of issue? Put them together.
Well, let's see. My favorite one is the Rave Act, which is part of the war on drugs.
The Rave Act was a bill passed by Congress on really secretively. It was slipped in under the Amber Alert bill, which concerned childhood abductions. What the Rave Act did was prohibit club owners from providing any sort of safety devices for the users, for example, cool-down rooms or having ambulance on site. And the reason why they did this was just to increase the paranoia about the drug war. And what we want to show is that the connections that the radical right wing is making and the techniques that they're using are really inappropriate.
So basically what we do is we go to the shows, we have little issues cards that, because I never knew about the Rave Act or what it did, and you know there's so many levels of it, it makes it even harder for independent promoters to throw shows just because of liability insurance and such like that. So we just go to the shows with these issues cards and talk about it, and we tell the artists that this stuff exists too, and some of them know, some of them don't. We give the artists a way to speak out about it, we speak out about it, we show that it's okay and it's important to take a stand on issues like this that affect you, and you can get it changed if you want to.
Who are you talking to, and what kind of reaction are you getting?
I'm talking to my friends. I'm talking to people who were like me, kind of, you know, going through life fat, dumb, and happy in the sense that I just liked going to shows. I liked hanging out with friends, and frankly, politics in I guess in the old sense of the word, still, it just annoyed me. It didn't do anything for me, and I really didn't want to do anything for it. I voted, but that was about the extent of it.
We're premised on the idea of using this idea of soft networking and just having one-to-one conversations as the idea of spreading the message. The traditional way people have been getting the news for the past 50 years through the broadcast networks, it's just really failing people now. The way that the war in Iraq was handled, and people were incredibly misled, and the gap between what was being presented on the broadcast news and what was actually occurring in reality really had awakened us and said, you know, and led us to believe that we have to figure out a different way to communicate with people who are being affected by these laws. All these laws that are being passed by the Republicans right now in Congress are being hidden, and they're not being covered by mainstream media. And we felt that steps needed to be taken to solve this problem.
The non-coverage, the non-warnings of dangers in Iraq obsess me too, from a different generation and a different perspective. I've been a journalist all my life, and I think mainstream journalism simply fell down on the job. The grown-ups abandoned the field. But I'm wondering how kids in their 20s, like you, observe this and what they're saying about it.
I think the first thing that happened was that there was the mass protests all across the world That's how the 20-somethings reacted to it.
February 15th.
February 15th, specifically. And also, even way back in November of 2002, where there was protests being held in Central Park that were as large as anything that occurred during the Vietnam War. And the amazing thing that happened was that it did not make a dent in the media, that there was non-coverage of the millions of people around the world who said, this is going to be a mistake. And we had come to recognize that the idea of relying on media to broadcast your protest or broadcast the message mm-hmm. for you was not working anymore. And we had to look for alternatives. And the thing that was most impressive about February 15th wasn't necessarily the protest itself, but how it was accomplished. And it was accomplished through the medium of the Internet. And the Internet, properly understood, is not merely a way of broadcasting information, but it's an interactive medium. So, to answer the question, what we're trying to do is actually take the time and listen what people have to say, and take the youth's opinion seriously.
That was an important moment. It was the moment that my friend Jim Moore defined with the headline, "The Second Superpower Rears Its Beautiful Head," when essentially people online and people intuitively went out into the street to say something bad is happening here. I wonder, what was the importance of the web for you to begin with?
The importance of the web was that it provided a place where we could actually have the public sphere develop and coalesce. It's the return of, I think John Dewey would say, it was the return of the public. Mm-hmm. The idea that we actually can come together and form ideas together in this common place.
The other importance of the web is that it reaches out to, what was it, like 95% of the youth. And we all know, I mean, I know I've had to teach my mom how to go on eBay and stuff like that, but you know, my friends and our peers know how to do that, you know, innately, so.
Just out of curiosity, what was the music of that moment for you?
Oh, man.
I mean, when you think of that day, what are the songs you hear?
That day was really cold. I was going to say, like, chestnuts roasting on open fire because I was freezing.
I was actually listening to drum and bass Ronnie Size at the time. And February 15th, it seemed so exciting to have 500,000 people in New York.
Yeah.
All together, and it seemed so powerful, and then not to have anyone listening was just devastating.
Right, you know, they said that going to the protests and such was unpatriotic, and I actually had this song by Joan of Arc called God Bless America probably going through my head. It's a very dirty version of God Bless America, but I mean, it's still very patriotic, and I was very moved that everyone there was happy and coming together, and you know, it showed me why people could get angry at policemen, you know, because we saw people get trampled, we saw people get hoarded in, and nothing was being done, and it was scary, but it was moving.
I was impressed by the sign that day there that said, "President Bush, God already blessed America."
I didn't see that, yeah.
God bless America and nowhere else.
How did our oil get under their sand was another sign I liked, and I liked the one that said, "Who would Jesus bomb?" What is the place of protest in the agenda of Music for America? What does protest have to do with it?
We're trying to look at what comes after protest. We think that protest itself has become a little bit ineffectual in altering public opinions. We live in a culture and a society where everything is very loud and shrill. And the idea of just protesters getting out there in the streets, it's easy to ignore it. Everyone is taking... corporations, the right wing, they've all taken this form of protest politics. So the idea that protest is something unique to liberal causes is not true anymore. What Music for America looked into and decided was that maybe we don't have to yell and scream. Maybe we could just turn it down a notch and say these are problems that need to be solved. And we also want to get past this left-right dichotomy that that everything needs to have a liberal solution or a conservative solution. The war in Iraq was not liberal or conservative, and no war should ever be considered that, or no social problem should be considered that. They should be considered problems, and we should be looking for solutions.
What are the new labels that interest you, or the old ones for that matter? Right, left, Democrat, Republican. Which ones work?
Open-source politics. I think that's really what we're going to come to see. The idea that you should test out your ideas with the community beforehand and listen to their feedback is an incredibly important idea, powerful now.
That's just it. I mean, no real labels. It's more so speaking up for what you believe in, and you will find people that are like-minded, and the most powerful ideas will rise to the top.
We're coming to the limit of categorization. Categorization and putting everything into different genres or labels is something that's done for marketing purposes or broadcasting purposes. What the web does and what internet politics does is allows everybody to be a certain individual. If you look at the presidential campaign right now, I think this is the difficulty that the old establishment politicians are having with Howard Dean. There's this constant need to categorize Governor Dean. Okay. Is he a liberal? Is he a maverick? Is he really a fiscal conservative? And the biggest insight that they brought out to the web community is just let the candidate be the candidate. And I think that's going to be the most inspiring thing about internet politics in the future.
Just to speak to, in terms of labels too, the youth vote is a label in itself that I don't know how applicable it is anymore. I mean, for instance, with that CNN Rock the Vote debate, they considered that the youth vote wanted to know about Max versus PCs. There was that girl from Brown who had a question that was actually really interesting about technology, about all this stuff, and they switched it to Max or PCs. And it's that patronizing attitude to label youth into a certain thing that we only care about boxers, briefs, or such like that. I don't care about in-depth theory behind politics, but I do care about what you're going to do that will help us out as a country and help me out in particular, you know?
I was there that night at Panel Hall for Rock the Vote. What did you make of it?
I like Rock the Vote. I think it's completely well-intentioned and it's done a lot of good, but it does not go far enough in that it doesn't take enough stands. It doesn't give people reasons to get involved or to do things on their own. They keep on having to provide everything. And just what came out afterwards with the whole feeding of the questions, and I thought that was terrible. I thought that the difference...
CNN giving the kids the questions.
Right, the kids emailing in and saying, you know, there's this whole hoopla before, email us in your questions, you know, we'll use them, you can ask them. And then that young girl from Brown emailing in a really fantastic question, and that it being not keeping with the nature of the program, and that it was too kind of on a higher ground for the audience or something like that. So they changed it to Macs or PCs, which was silly.
If you want to get the youth involved, you have to take the youth seriously.
Right.
And getting dressed in black might not necessarily be taking the youth seriously, as some of the candidates did. Taking the youth seriously means listening to what they have to say, because the youth today are saying some pretty interesting things if just someone would take the time to listen to those words.
Right.
You talk a lot about drawing on the inspirational power of performers and events to rejuvenate the American electorate, but how sure are you that the youth vote, so-called, is progressive in the way you are?
Well, I'm not even sure the way in which I'm progressive, but I think that once the issues are out there that actually concern the quote-unquote youth vote, that they will vote what's best for them or take action in a way that's best for them. I mean, you said, do we know if people are going to vote yes or no? When we had one of our shows up in Seattle, there were a lot of Dean people there, and one of the bands went on stage, and you know, the singer started playing, and in the middle of a song, he took off his sweater, and underneath it was a Nader T-shirt, and he was like, "I'm not going to say I'm going to vote, but I think this speaks for itself." And the band actually broke up on stage over it, and we thought it was great because it didn't really show.
Broke up, disbanded.
Oh yeah, they got into a fist fight backstage. It was surreal, but we don't need to control the way people will think as long as they start taking a more active role and being as passionate about, you know, what law is screwing up their culture right now as they are as passionate about this new album from this artist that really speaks to them, that I got total faith that the right way will come out.
It's about having trust. It's about having trust in the youth that they're going to make the right decisions. And I strongly believe that the youth are very progressive on the culture war questions, specifically with homosexuality. I think the youth are very, very progressive. I think that the youth are also very, very anti-corporate. The 20-somethings that are around today have come of age in this media culture and this commercialization, and we're very, very savvy.
You guys are all over the place, and I'm not sure I've sort of pinned you down. I mean, your music runs from bluegrass to hip-hop. Your issues, the issues you're following, run from media consolidation, the war on terror, drugs, college tuitions, the environment, youth service, intellectual property. I mean, what's the theme in this pudding, so to speak, or what's the melody here?
Well, you could say, I mean, Franz and I just looked at each other, and you know, I was thinking, I was going to say participation, and Franz goes, yeah, participation. It's getting involved, you know?
It's about the end of broadcast and the end of control, and the idea is getting people participating and looking towards new sorts of models of organizing in a way that allow people to participate and are no longer just seen as consumers of a product.
Right. It's also changing the definition where you don't need to be an activist to be active. Because I think activists scare people off to a certain extent, you know?
Where do you stand, just out of curiosity, on the musical copyright issues?
The idea that somehow file sharing is somehow stealing music, or the very rhetoric of intellectual property, is causing a lot of this confusion. Music is not... There's no loss in music when you make a reproduction of it. What you're doing is with music and filing and sharing music is you're giving people the opportunity to listen and to share and to communicate.
I think another indication that you can talk about with file sharing is just how huge, utterly huge, the alternative music scene, independent music scene is today. And, you know, there are still only three main routes of distribution to get your music heard in CDs and stores in the U.S. today. It goes on and on and on, but... basically, file sharing lets you hear bands that you might not know of. You know, there's websites like InSound or Pitchfork Media that allow you to listen to different indie groups and download some songs and then show you what else you might like. And it's, you know, I don't know necessarily yet if I think entire albums should be available for download online, but for sure, you know, a great amount of them should be to help get the sounds out there.
We have only five big media record companies that own 80% of the market, and we're down to essentially Clear Channel as our one radio station, and even public radio has commercials now. It's time for a new model.
We're working on it. I want you to talk about, I mean, one of the things that intrigues me about you is that you're blogging and that you're audio blogging, a game I'm trying to learn. Why are blogs important to you? What do blogs do for you?
The center of our idea is it's about communication, and blogs are essentially about disclosing what you're feeling and communicating without the outside world. Also, blogs are an incredible way to link to other people, and to, instead of trying to have your universe be closed, it's a chance to expand it and say, go, if you don't believe us, go learn for yourself, go to this other website, go become informed.
I was just going to say, you had asked us when we first spoke about, you know, what is the music of blogging, and we were just on the ride up here, we're talking about different ways we can answer that, and we each have our own answers, but one way we kind of like thinking about, which we thought you would like it, because even if you do not blog yourself, with that whole linking system, the aggregation, what it allows you to do is become pretty much a DJ. You know, you can have your whole website filled with just different blogs that you think is good. You can make this great mixtape for a friend again with all this information that you think is wonderful. You know, I want to see the first dude that makes his girlfriend, you know, a blog mixtape, and then see what he get that point across, you know? So,
are you going to teach me how to put a music track under all this?
Sure.
Of course.
This is what it's all about. It's the soundtrack to our lives.